This is Mouse World Radio.
Radio 1!
Now, on with the show.
This is Mouse World Radio. Bringing the world to your world. This is Walt Disney World Today Live. Call 407-278-5WDW to get on the show. That's 407-278-5939. And now, your host, Matt Hochberg.
Thank you, Mr. Voice. And it's the September live show for WDW Today. And this live show is being sponsored by touringplans.com. And hey, if you're going to Walt Disney World, there's no doubt that touringplans.com is your best resource to help you get around those crowds. Because no one likes waiting in line. It's the worst part about Disney World, right? But touringplans.com has the tools to help you get around those crowds, avoid the long lines, and see everything you want to see on your next trip. So what are you waiting for? Check them out right now at touringplans.com. It's Sunday, September 25th, 2011, and it's the live show for September 2011. I'm Matt Hochberg of WDW Today. Joining me on today's show is, because he has video, Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio.
Is that the only reason why you picked me first?
It's one last thing I have to do later, but also because you're super awesome.
Wow. Can I get that in writing?
No.
Oh. Darn. Thanks a lot. Thanks for nothing.
No problem. Anytime. Also joining us on today's show is Len Testa, co-author of The Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World. Welcome, Len.
How's it going, Matt?
Outstanding.
Matt, I learned something new this weekend. Actually, I learned something that I wasn't expecting this weekend. So I went to New York to see Enrique Iglesias in concert with Hannah, because she's the big Enrique fan. And by the way, Enrique is fabulous. If he's coming to your town, go see him. But the thing I was surprised at is how friendly the service people are in New York and New Jersey. Don't know if it's the recession or what, but literally every single encounter I had with a person in the service industry was not only pleasant, but it went really well, even better than expected.
Really?
Yeah, I was surprised. It was great. It was a fabulous trip.
Awesome. Glad to hear that.
Yep.
Also joining us on today's show is Mike Scopa, a senior feature writer and blogger for AllEars.net. Welcome, Mike.
Why don't we just skip to the air conditioning and jacuzzi period, huh?
Stupid Ellen. Stupid energy.
Ellen.
And also just on today's show is the fabulous Annette Owens, a manager of customer relations and group services for MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, just back from Hawaii.
Aloha, jeez, everyone. I know.
Would you go for like 3 days?
Yeah. No, man. I was there just as long as the flight back and forth, you know? But
that's amazing. Were you really?
Awesome. Yes.
Was it a direct flight, Annette?
I flew from Charlotte to Atlanta, and then I went from Atlanta to Honolulu in 9 hours and 40 minutes. Wow. I would have loved to have had that on the way back, because it would have been much easier to sleep instead of changing 3 planes. But you know,
wow.
I've often heard that people that who don't get direct flights to Hawaii usually have to go through a layover.
Yeah, we can have a few of those lay jokes. But no.
It's our live show. It's your opportunity to call in live. 407-278-5939 is our phone number. Don't forget to join us in our chat room at live.wdwtoday.com. It's a lot of fun. You can see video, so you'd see me looking at you. And also, we're going to do something for this live show. If you're calling in, call in with whatever questions you'd like to, whatever it may be. But also let us know at the top of the call, just really quick, do you like the idea of Avatar Land or not? And at the Mike Scope is going to keep track of all the calls we get. And at the end of the show, Mike will let us know, tally the results, and let us know what our audience thought today. So you don't have to go into detail, just yes or no, and then go on to whatever you'd like to talk about. So I thought it might be some fun way to keep things interesting. But let's get things kicked off here with our first call of the evening. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Brian.
Hey, Brian, where are you calling from?
Brian.
Ohio.
Cool. What's on your mind, Brian?
I have two questions. You know when Cupcake is closing? How long is it going to stay open?
Which attraction?
Captain EO's closing?
No, so how long will it stay open?
You know, that's Disney said that they'll keep it open as long as it remains popular, but I think popular here is relative terms. I don't think it pulls large crowds right now, but it's probably not doing any worse than Honey, I Shrunk the Audience was. So, you know, for the foreseeable future, I expect it to be open. 6 months? I could be wrong.
And my favorite, Hot Pot's my favorite theme park is Hot Pot. The best of Disney theme park is Hot Pot.
Your favorite theme park is Epcot?
Yes, it's the best Disney theme park, I think.
I think so,
Why
too.
Why do you like Epcot so much?
I love the American Adventure.
Yeah.
Just like Mike Scopa. Cool. Thanks for having me, Brian. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
Hi, Brian.
Brian's right. Epcot is the world's best theme park.
That's right. Obviously, I mean, it makes perfect sense. I mean, Disneyland was definitely going to build, you know, its second theme park, redo it, and base it off of Epcot. Oh, wait, they didn't do that. Which part did they choose, Len? I forgot.
They chose the studios, and then they realized that the studios idea by itself sucked, and they had to pour another $1 billion into it. Where are we going with that, Matt?
I'm just saying, which part got copied and which one is still one for one?
Because the studio's copy at Paris is also doing oh so well.
Well, hey, it counts. I'm just saying.
What are you saying?
It's a notch on your belt, Len. She may not be the prettiest of the dance, but it's still a notch on your belt.
Wow. If you're going for quantity, yeah, you're right. Yeah, okay. All right. Fair enough.
Wow.
You're right.
Let's get things rolling with our next call. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Tom from Connecticut.
Hey, Tom.
I have a question for Len. I'm really looking forward to using the term fans because I'm kind of an Excel nerdy type geek and I want to see how they work.
Cool.
One of the things I was interested in the Ultimate Guide for Kids, I think it was, that I bought, is said we would have the ability to optimize our own custom plans.
Yep.
I know you have a lot of plans to pick from, and I'm about 60 days out. I haven't studied them yet. So, is that something that you think is going to be coming up soon, that I can pick the ones that I want to see?
Yep.
I know you use them based on your star ratings and surveys and whatnot, but I'm probably not going to find one that's an exact match.
Yes, soon. Before the end of the year.
Oh, so I might be able to use it for my November trip.
When in November?
The 26th, I'm going.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, great. All right, thanks, guys, and thanks for all you do.
No problem, man. Thanks for the call. That's awesome.
407-278-5939 our number, and we have another call right after that. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Kathleen from Lexington, Massachusetts.
Hey, Kathleen. What's on your mind?
Hi. I have a question that's probably mostly for Matt. I'm going to the Walt Disney World in November, and we're going to go to the studios. And I have a particular question about the Jedi Training Academy. I'm going with my best friend and her son and with my son, and the boys are definitely going to want to do it. So it's the day we're going is early entry extra magic hours, and we're trying to figure out when do you start signing up for the Jedi Training Academy when it's extra magic hours? What time do they start signing the kids up?
That's a good question, if they do it before 9 o'clock or not.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, it's a great question because I haven't tried to see when they start the signups for that. My recommendation, regardless of when they do it, is you should do it immediately as soon as you can. So if it's at 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock, you're going to want to be there right away, because that actually is one of the, you know, we all know about how popular Toy Story is and how quickly that sells out of Fast Passes, but spots for Jedi Training Academy are usually gone by like 10 o'clock in the morning. Maybe 11.
Yeah, we were thinking about going to Toy Story Mania first and then going straight over to sign up for the Jedi Training Academy.
You should be good.
They're going to want to see the new Star Tours too.
Right. Are you, for when you ride Toy Story, are you going to ride it or are you just going to Fast Passes?
I think we're going to ride it.
Okay.
Just go straight there.
Just make a beeline afterwards, right over to Sounds Dangerous. That's where they're doing the sign ups now.
Uh huh.
It's right in the Soundworks area. It's to the right. You'll see it. There's a sign. But the reason they're not doing it in front of Jedi Training Academy right now is it's too hot out. They don't want to have the kids bake out there.
Right.
But that's where you can go sign up. That's a great question. You know, what I'll do is next Sunday when I go to the studios, mm-hmm. I will get that information for you and tweet it out.
Wonderful.
On Twitter. So
that'd be great.
I'll get a definitive answer for you by next week.
Excellent. And in terms of Avatar, I think that this is probably not my favorite idea. You know, you guys said at one of the last shows, it's not, they don't have a fan community. And I think that's a big difference between sort of Harry Potter over at Universal Studios and this. So, yeah, no, it's not my favorite idea. But
that's
good
one,
luck to them.
That's one nay.
Okay. Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you.
407-278-5939. Another call online. Don't forget to let us know, just like our last caller, whether you like the idea of Avatar or not. Just quick yes or no, and then move on to whatever you'd like to talk about. Hi, who's online with us?
Hey, this is Bobby. Bobby Frass on board.
Hey, Bobby.
I'm calling from Newport, Rhode Island tonight. And I had a question. This might be a question for Annette, but it has to do with Disney Magical Express. And if I'm coming down on Thursday, and if I catch, I think I'm going to be able to catch a flight that's earlier than my original flight. And if I do that, do I have to contact Disney's Magical Express if I show up to the airport early? I'm not checking any bags, so it's just a carry-on.
That's a great question.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine. You go and you, I mean, this happens when people get bumped from flights as well. When they show up later, they have you on the list. They have you confirmed. So just go check in. If you have no bags, go on down and check in with Magical Express. If you had luggage, what they're looking for is those yellow tags and pulling them off. So they would still go in and grab your bag and wait for you to check in, then grab your luggage and go. So, nope, you're fine.
I don't have anything, because I'm not checking bags, I don't have anything to show them. They'll have my name on the list, though, when I show up, right?
Right.
Okay. And my second question is, on Sunday when I'm leaving, if my flight is at like 7:40, and I want to go to the TP meet on Sunday, well, I have time. I think it's at like 2:00. So if I need to get to the airport for a flight at 7:40, I don't know how early they'll expect me to be at the resort.
It's normally about three and a half hours prior to your flight. I can tell you that there are reports of some people being able to ask if they can be picked up at a different resort. I don't know if that's something you might would want to try to do, is take your bags to wherever you're going to be. That would give you a little bit more time, but you'd have to ask there. That's not something that they like publicize that they will do for everybody. It probably all depends on what the buses back look like for that day.
Okay. All right, so, well, that's
it. Just remember that you've got to allow for travel time. If you have to keep your bags at the original hotel, you might have to take a taxi, or you might have to, you know,
right,
you might have
take
to
transportation back to the. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate the podcast, guys, and look forward to seeing you next weekend.
Oh, well, all you
fun,
have fun. Some of us
Bye.
Have to work.
407-278-5939, our number. We have our next call on the line. Looks like from New York.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Disney Phil from New York.
Hey,
it's my first time on.
Hey, that. Phil, how's it going?
Phil.
That's feeling great. It's great to put a face to a voice that I listen to for the podcast.
Cool. Thank you for checking us out.
I have a question. When I used to listen to the podcast, and you always talked about the meal plans, the first few times I used to buy them, and I used to get upset when you turn around and say, oh, no, that you should try it elsewhere, and I always thought you were wrong. But this time I'm going down, I'm going to try it your way, because I discovered over time it's too much food to eat and it's a lot of money. Question, though, is how much money do you think I should put on a card for if I was going to do it your suggestion your way?
Right. I'll let you answer the question. I just want to kind of fill people in what Phil's talking about. And that's the idea. One of the ideas we float for people who want the convenience of the dining plan but don't want the dining plan is, you know, get like a gift card, like an American Express gift card or a Visa gift card or whatever, and just load that up with money. And that way you can use that just like you use your dining plan card. Your money's prepaid, everything's all set to go. You don't have to worry about, you know, shelling out the cash or credit card bills later or whatever it may be. But go ahead, Len. What do you think? How much money do you think you should put on the card?
Phil, how much are you going to eat a table service meal every day?
No, I was thinking maybe one or two table meals, not many.
You know, why don't you put, how many days are you going?
I'm going for about 9 days at the end for the Food and Wine Festival.
Okay, so, I'd say put 9 days, $400 on it.
Okay.
I think that'd be. I'd go $350. I'd go $350.
Okay. Because the other thing I was thinking of maybe just putting my credit card to my room key and then charging it that way. Would that make a difference? You think that'd be?
No, you could do that too. That would work.
Yeah. Because if I'm not mistaken, they don't get your card isn't charged till the end of your visit, right? So whatever money you get charged, it doesn't really happen till the end.
Well, it's if you hit your limit. So what resort are you staying at?
Saratoga Springs.
Yeah, so I think the limit's what $1,500 for DVC resorts, something like that. You hit that limit, then
$1,500. So
yeah, then they'll charge you once you hit that number, but then. You know, until you hit that, they won't charge it. So unless you're buying like a pass separate from your check-in,
right?
You're DVC though, right?
Yeah, I'm a DVC though. I already have my annual pass.
Yeah, so you have to hit $1,000 before they do anything.
If you go buy a couple Dooney Burke purses, you're done. You'd have to go. Okay. You know. But
I was thinking about it because this way also, if I eat and drink through the worlds.
Oh, that might do it too.
Yeah, that'll right there.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Yep. Cool. Awesome.
Yeah, let us know. Phil, do us a favor. When you get back, let us know how the gift card idea works.
I certainly will. I'll definitely let you know.
Cool. Thanks, Phil.
And for Avatar, I think that's a good idea. I'd like to see Muppet Land more, but Avatar's pretty good.
Okay. So plus one for Avatar Land. Thank you, Phil.
Thanks a lot. Keep up the good.
Thank you. 407-278-5939. We've got Andrew from Long Island online. Hey, Andrew.
Hi. I want to make a point about the debate over whether Avatar Land may have been sprung on by Harry Potter.
Yeah, go ahead.
I agree with you in that if this is a response to Universal's attendance, if you're scared of Universal's attendance peaking, then I think they're wasting their breath because Disney will always have the quantity factor and the sentimental factor with their parks. Having said that, I think it may have been a response maybe to some embarrassment or pride, because I think over the last, since Islands of Adventure opened back in 1999, Universal Creative, I think, has come up with some, I think, really innovative, well-received, and quite frankly, creative attractions such as Spider-Man, obviously Forbidden Journey, Men in Black, and Dueling Dragons, and Revenge of the Mummy. Well, I think over that time, the best, the three attractions on that Disney Imagineering has come up with on that plane are Mission Space, which has been pretty much considered a flop, Everest with the Broken Yeti, and possibly Soarin'. So I don't think it was a response to the attendance. I think it may have been a pride factor in a way for Disney Imagineering.
Okay. Cool. Thanks for sharing your opinion. You got a question for us, or was that it?
That's it.
All right. Are you for it or against it, so Mike can keep track?
I would say for it.
Okay. For it. Cool. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate hearing from you every month.
All right. Bye.
407-278-5939, our number, and we've got our next caller on the line. Hi. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Stephanie from Denver, Colorado.
Hey, Stephanie. Sorry about the Broncos.
Oh, well, yeah, I know. It's going to be a disappointing season, I think.
this season, last season.
Yeah, they're kind of blurring together anymore.
Wait. Listen, did you hear? Wait. I heard a ugh. Did you hear that?
No.
It's coming from south of here.
I didn't hear anything.
Matt, it's coming from south of here. Can you pinpoint that?
Yeah, I think it's coming from a certain... I know whose house it's coming from.
Exactly.
<Yeah.
laughs> It's in the chat room, actually.
Is he?
Yeah.
I was in Disneyland last month, and this is actually probably for Lynn. Subscribed to the touringplans.com, and it was the biggest time saver. Just pulling it up on my phone, we were walking over to Grizzly River Rapids, and they said it had gone down, and they had evacuated the ride. So it saved us more time because of all of that.
Oh, thanks very much.
On that trip. So,
thanks.
And one of your callers had talked about charging everything to their card when they go to Disney World. And we were married in Disney World last May, and we went that route, charging everything to our room. It was awesome. It was a piece of cake. Very easy to do. So thank you guys for all of that.
Yay. Thank you. I'm glad to hear everything everything worked.
Yes, it's wonderful. And keep up the great work, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
407-278-5939, our phone number. Don't forget, also, we're kind of taking a quick straw poll, so when you call in, just let us know, yay or nay, if you like Avatar, and then talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. It could be Avatar, but, you know, just trying to get an idea, and Mike's keeping track of it, and at the end of the show, we're going to have a little bit of a results here, see what our callers thought this the show. We have our next call on the line, though. Let's keep things rolling. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Evan from Fremont, California.
Hey, Evan.
Is that Matt?
Yes, it is. You're on the air. What can we do for you?
Sorry. So I'm a big proponent of the Avatar thing. Animal Kingdom needs it just so it would get guys like you guys to shut up about it being a half-day park. Anyway, my question is, we're going to be in Disney World at New Year's, and trying to think about fireworks. Is it going to be crazy to think that we could go to the beach of the Polynesian and see the fireworks from there, or what would you recommend?
You could totally see the fireworks from there, but they're surround fireworks, so it's going to be better on Main Street.
Do you think that because of the crowds that that's an acceptable, still special event, but maybe can get out of there a little bit quicker because of, you know, being all on the other side of the lake there?
Where are you staying?
Copa Towers.
Maybe. Yeah, you might be able to get out of there. Yeah, you'll be able to get out of there faster than the people from the Magic Kingdom. But dude, you're literally, I mean, when the last firework is still going to be sparkling in the air, and you have to take off for a dead run for your car, man. It's going to be like, boom, and that'll be like the starting gun for you. And you'll be like Steve Austin, the Bionic Man. I mean, leave the kids, leave the dog, you know, whoever. Just get in the car and go. They'll catch up with you. It was like, you ever see the movie Independence Day?
Sure.
Will Smith. Okay. You know how like Will Smith driving into, or Jeffrey Goldblum's driving into DC and everyone else is driving out? that driving out was the Magic Kingdom parking lot about like 12:30, dude. It was crazy. So I think it's a good idea. Try it. Let me know how it is. I'm actually staying at Bay Lake Tower this year, just so I avoid driving home that night. Honest to God,
that's a great
idea.
Are you
gonna run over to Bay Lake Towers? I would like to see.
Yeah. So here's my thing. No. Here's my thing. Look, if you get completely stuck, if you decide you cannot make it out of the parking lot, give me a call. we'll put you on the floor or something at Bay Lake Tower.
Oh, you hear that, Scarlett? We're gonna go stay at the Lens House. Cool. Thanks for calling in. Oh, you hung up before I even say goodbye. 407-278-5939. Our phone number. Next call on the air. Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Cisco.
Cisco, how's it going?
I love your routers.
It's going good. I'm sorry. I didn't know we'd be on so soon. I thought it was going to be a whole time.
Yeah,
you want me to hang up on you?
Click. Click.
Well, let me turn this down.
Yeah.
My son and I were sitting here, and he asked me what I would say the most funnest job at Disney World would be. And I thought you guys would be better to ask than I. So he's waiting for an answer.
The most funnest job at Disney. Snow, but what do you think? If you had a choice, if you had to work at Disney World, what job would you like?
What job would I like?
Yeah.
I think I've been asked this before, and if I could have any job, if I had the talent, I think I'd want to be a Voices of Liberty, or I'd want to be some kind of a entertainer who could really have an impact on people's experience there.
That's a great idea. You know, if I was, like you just said, Scope, if I was talented enough, I would love to be a citizen of Hollywood, but I definitely am not fast enough on my feet to think of half the jokes that they do. But that would be awesome to be able to entertain people like that. I would love to do something like that. What about you, Len?
We talked about this before. I think one of the great jobs that Disney had in the past couple of years was the people who were giving out the prizes in Year of a Million Dreams.
Oh, my gosh.
Ooh, yes. That was a great job.
I mean, because all you're doing is giving away stuff for free to people all year. You know, and that's going to be fantastic. So I think that would be the thing that I would want to do.
So you'd also want a time machine while you took the new job.
Well, apparently neutrinos can travel faster than the speed of light, so I'm expecting time machines are just around the corner.
Someone posted a photo of that. There was a photo of Einstein, and it said, "Pixar, it didn't happen." Einstein theorized that it couldn't happen. So
yeah. Pixar didn't happen. Yeah, it's awesome.
Newell, I'm going to guess for you, Mike, if you had a job at Disney World, I would say you would be in the Jaminators. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, that wasn't my top one, but yeah. No, but that would have been fun. But those guys
are playing drums.
Those guys are really good, though. If money wasn't an object and I didn't need healthcare or anything like that, I would be a monorail pilot.
That was fun.
Yeah,
I've done that.
I so would want to do that. Now they don't make any money, so
Yeah. I would want to be Cinderella because everybody comes in and wants to see.
What do you mean want to be princess?
Thank you. That was so sweet.
Thank you.
I mean, I love kids, and so and I love being with people, and I would just look. I actually am saying I have the talent to do that. I just don't have the body shape or the age, but that's what I would want to do.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Let's go back to upstate New York. Hi, who are we speaking with?
It's Mike from
Monroe. Hey, this is Tony Caggiano, formerly of the Bronx, New York.
Oh, hold on.
Hey, Tony, how's it going?
Hey, I think you're going through a tunnel, Tony.
Can you hear me now?
Break it up. Break it up.
When are we going to Hawaii Sea?
You tell me when. I'm down there all the time. My brother lives around the block.
I know. I was there on Friday.
I'm game.
I did takeout on Friday.
Every time I'm down there, I text you a photo.
I know.
Rub it in. But yeah, we got to do that. Next time Matt comes to town, we'll bring him to the Bronx and scare him good.
He's scared. He won't come to the Bronx.
Hey, I took the 6 train by myself in the daytime.
Ooh.
Ooh, you and Jennifer Lopez. Scary.
That's right.
Matt from the block.
Gun Hill Road, baby.
Yeah, oh, the exactly. 6 train doesn't go to Gun Hill Road, smarty pants.
Is it the 4 train then?
Hey, Newell.
What about that line?
Newell, where's LaGuardia? Is it in the Bronx?
No, it's in Queens.
Queens. That's what I thought. Okay. Queens. All right, thanks.
Yeah. What's on your mind, Tony?
I was just calling about the whole Avatar thing. I've been listening to a lot of people talk, and, I'm for it. And, I got to say, there's a lot of things, there's very few things that the Imagineers have done that I haven't enjoyed. I mean, there's a couple, but for the most part, I'm excited to see what they're going to do with it. And everybody, the big hubbub seems to be that there's, is it going to fit? But when they first announced the Tower of Terror, you think that really, that Twilight Zone fit anywhere in Disney? I mean, it was a show that our grandparents watched between Barnaby Jones and Ironside. It wasn't like a popular show at the time. You know what I mean? Like Channel 9 in New York. I mean,
WOR.
So,
hey,
WOR TV.
Matt, Jason works for Channel 9, so be careful. Careful what you say.
Okay. You mean I shouldn't say I prefer WPIX?
Picks. Sorry.
No one outside of the city has any idea what we're yelling
at. No one has any clue.
No.
Getting low.
Sorry,
yeah, but I'm for it, and I'm just wondering, what is, if you're against it, what is the big crux of that? I mean, what are you really against? You're going to be offered more. You don't have to go do it. It'll take heat off of Everest and other rides, but you could just walk around it. There are rides there that I don't care for, and I just walk right past them, so I don't know what the big negative impact is of it.
Anyone want to take that? Let's go ahead.
Tony, how are you? This is Mike.
Here we go.
It's only a 2-hour show. I'm writing a blog on it. Hopefully it'll be out sometime this week on my feelings of it. There are a lot of things. There are a lot of risks involved in it. And I think that that's the thing that bothers me. How many sequels are as successful as the original films, I mean, Godfather and that's it, as far as I know. Well, maybe Toy Story. But, I mean, I think it's a risk. We haven't heard about anything along the line of attractions. This is an entire land. And I think that it's just a risk. I think there's a lot of Disney purists that are establishing themselves in Orlando. And I think you might find that there's a possibility that there'll be a contingent of fans who are going to treat this like the Disney purists in California treated California Adventure. I think it's a big risk. I think that it's an admission that their creative juices are kind of dried up. I don't know. I also see it as a knee-jerk reaction to Harry Potter and a few other things, and I'm not sure if that's the way to go. So, you know, we'll see. I'm a doubting Thomas. I just have my doubts, and you know, they've never been successful with anything science fiction. So we'll see what happens.
But now, how would you? Obviously, Star Wars is huge and it's timeless. But you know,
just an attraction. Land.
Yeah. See? I understand, but you're saying that there was a negative reaction to California Adventure. That's an entire park. I mean, do you think that this is going to cause people to not go to Animal Kingdom, or could they just? Or you think they'll just? If the purists are the ones who are avoiding it, I think that. Don't you think that they're? You think there's a great enough number where it's going to be? It's going to cause a void in the park where people are not going and they're avoiding this area?
No, I think that those people who presently enjoy Disney's Animal Kingdom are going to continue to go. I just don't know. And I'm sure there'll be a curiosity factor that everybody will want to see what it's all about. I just don't know if I think the Disney fanatics are becoming very, very sophisticated. And I think that everyone, you, me, everybody who's listening, everybody who's in the chat room, I think we're looking at every single attraction, every single land in a certain, through a certain lens these days. And I don't think that that lens was in existence 20, 30, 40 years ago. But I think, you know, we as consumers are very judgmental for anything. And we're looking at it. I mean, there are people who complain about the Harry Potter area over in Universal Studios. It just won't please them. I think this is a huge risk. I think that people continue to go to Animal Kingdom. I think one of the things that bothers me is that I keep on wondering, why don't they put their efforts into something that would be more successful? And I keep going back to, you know, 20 years ago when they had this rift with Brian Henson, and I really wish that they had put together a Muppet Land in the studios. I think that would be great. You know, so that's just my opinion. But, you know, that's how I feel.
I would love that, Mike.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, that was about it. Just wanted to call in on that.
Cool. Thanks for calling, Tony. I appreciate it.
All right, man. We'll talk to you guys soon. Hopefully see you down there next week.
See you, buddy.
Hopefully you have some time for you can here. Squeeze out for us.
Oh, my phone's ringing. I got to go. It's Lou. Talk to you later.
That's no surprise.
See you, Tony.
Short call.
407-278-5939, our phone number. Let's keep things rolling here on WW Today Live. Hi, who's speaking with?
Steve from Austin, Texas.
Steve.
What's up, Steve?
Yes.
Hey, fellas, how you doing? Hey, just a couple of things. I was down there at the end of July, first week in August, and just had a couple of observations, I guess, from my trip down there, and maybe Len could chime in on this one. I was just kind of, you know, I've never been down there in the summer. I usually go down in January for the marathon. And, you know, you have a certain level of expectation for the crowds and that type of thing. And we went down this year for my mother and father-in-law's 50th wedding anniversary, and they were inviting us down there, you know, during the summer. And the whole thought was, you know, oh, no, you know, this is going to be a disaster, you know. My expectations were very low, you know, get on a few rides, a few attractions, you know, dine a little bit, but, you know, take it very laid back. And we were quite surprised by, you know, by the crowd levels. You know, to be honest with you, I felt it was busier last January than it was the last week of July, first part of August. I mean, you know, Magic Kingdom, we were walking on, you know, Splash Mountain at, you know, 11 o'clock in the morning. And I was just kind of curious, did we kind of find a little kind of a warble in the matrix or something? And I was, you know, my thought was I would never go down there in the summer, no way, even if somebody else paid for it. Mm. And went down there, and it was very, very comfortable and enjoyable. So I was just wondering, is it, you know, has this summer been down a little bit, or did we just, like I said, kind of find a little window of opportunity there?
So late July, Steve, is, or very early August, is generally the time at which you might see some people start to complete their summer vacations. Like, so by, you know, by mid-August, there's definitely a drop. You know, Disney adjusts their hours, their season is season schedule is different. Late July, early August, yeah, maybe. The interesting thing, I think, is you know, Disney crowds have been about the same this year versus last year. Maybe it's down 1-3%, something like that. But, you know, plus or minus 5%, you're not going to notice a difference, I don't think. So I don't think it's like, you know, any sort of recent trend. It's probably just seasonal. Yeah, it's probably, so it's, you know, August is about the time that people start to switch focus to school.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you, if I ever got the opportunity to go to, you know, I always thought, you know, I'm always going to go, you know, in January, February, that time of the year. And but I'll tell you, if somebody ever invited me to go back down again in late July, I'd go down in a heartbeat. You know, like I said, I thought it was actually more, you know, user-friendly this time around than during the marathon week. But just a couple other thoughts, just maybe get your opinions on a few things.
Sure.
You know, one thing I don't hear you guys talk about too often on the show is that new show that they do on the castle with the photos and everything.
Yeah, oh, really kind Magic
of,
Memories.
I really kind of enjoyed that.
Oh, that's awesome.
We say it's a must see in the book. It's actually better in world than in land, I think, too.
Yeah, I mean, when they were first going to, you know, start doing this, I guess, you know, 6 months ago, there seemed to be a lot of people were kind of, you know, that was kind of sacrilegious or something, and I went out of my way to get a point to see that, and I thought it was quite fascinating and enjoyable how they used the, you know, the castle as a screen, you know, for those images and stuff. I really, really would encourage people on that.
It's really good. The effects are great. Like when they have the castle turret shooting off like a rocket.
Like a rocket, yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's great.
That's amazing.
When they do the shimmering effects, that's also really good. The one thing I don't like, and I hate to say this, after a while, looking at the photos of other people doesn't do anything for me. So Laurel said it best. It's like watching somebody else's vacation slides.
Yeah. You look at everything around it. You know?
It doesn't really do anything for me. I'd rather see effects in a few photos.
Yeah, and you have to be fairly close to even really be able to see the pictures.
You've got to discern who it is, and you know, it's just all too much.
Yeah, but I thought the overall general presentation on it, I thought was quite quite enjoyable.
Good.
One last question. You know, is what is up with the single rider lines? You know, I was genuinely a single rider, for example, getting on Rock and Roller Coaster, and the line was not very long. And I'll tell you what, there were people that were in the standby line that got in ahead of me in the single rider line. It's almost like you're kind of like, you know, a pariah when you're in that single rider line. And right. I was truly the only person. I mean, I really genuinely was a single rider, and everybody in front of me was, you know, four people or five people or whatever. You know, what is the general kind of philosophy on these single rider lines? You know, sometimes it doesn't seem, no matter how short the line is, that it's really all that advantageous to get in. I think sometimes you're better off just to get in the regular standby line.
You know, the single rider line is interesting because it's something they use. The idea of the single rider line, unlike FastPass, is they use the single rider line to augment the standby line. It's not another way to ride and be equal with the standby riders. They just use the single rider line to fill in the gaps the standby line and even the FastPass line create from time to time. So it's very likely that you can go on the single rider line and see many, many people that get online after you go past you. In practice, though, it's been a little bit better in terms of, you know, like Rock and Roller Coaster is a great attraction. I think a lot of people, and Len, you could probably back me up on this, that in my Rock and Roller Coaster, you often find that the single rider line is a good way of seeing the ride if you don't mind riding with people you don't know.
Yeah.
Other rides, it's a little different.
Yeah, it just...
Especially in terms
it,
of, like, timing and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like I said, it's almost like they kind of look at you like you're... You know, because I guess so many people, in a way, have kind of abused the thing that it's almost like they kind of torture you in that line. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, you're almost performing.
So
right. Well, I mean, you're almost performing a service. Actually, I have Glenn, I don't know if you remember this. Do you remember when we rode Toy Story Midway Mania and they had a single rider line early on? And
the last time I did it. Yeah.
And this happened, and we were just like you. We were Len and I were standing in line, and people were going by us like all the time. We weren't getting picked, and Len tried to have a conversation with the cast member about the merits
that
of single rider lines.
That would be the reason we all didn't get on.
And why it why we should be loading a lot faster. And
he
was totally
to
over
his head. I was trying to explain to him the concept of single rider and how the thing you give up is riding with your party. The thing you get in return is a shorter line. You can't simultaneously break up your party and get a longer line. It doesn't make any sense that wasn't the value proposition. This dude was just not understanding any of it.
See, I was going to say, single rider works when the cast member is using it. When the cast member is not really using it for its purpose, it backfires.
The funny thing was, is like it was like three or four kids in a row, like, you know, teenagers. That this was like their first job. They were nervous. They were essentially doing whatever their boss told them. So we literally waited, an hour and a half in the single rider line. And the regular wait time was only like 75 minutes. And then some guy who's is an older gentleman who had clearly been at Disney for years comes on his shift to get rid of the kid. We're like, dude, this is how they're running the single rider line. He took care of the problem in like 15 minutes. It was great. You just get somebody that knows what's going on. It was so funny. That's so funny. Yeah.
And then they said, so we got rid of the single rider line. So maybe that guy was like, you know, this guy online told me this idea. And he's like, well, that's a good idea. Let's get rid of it.
You know, hey, we should work on that. Yeah, exactly.
407-278-5939. Call in with your questions at the WDW Today Live Show. And we have our next caller on the line. Hi, who's online with us?
Hi, this is Sam.
Hey, Sam.
I'm good. I just want to talk about Avatar, the land, and I am for it.
Okay, what's on your mind? Why do you like it?
Well, I just like how it's like an immersive, it's not really the story, but it's like an immersive land that the Imagineers can like work with. And the story, I mean, it isn't that good, but on their ride, they don't really need to focus on that story. They can focus on, like, the flying. And I want to talk about how it's not, I don't think it's a response to Harry Potter because, I think having a fan base is not really a long-term good idea because you look at Harry Potter 2 in the box office, it makes $169 million the first weekend. Then the next weekend, it makes $47 million, a 72% drop, which means all the hardcore fans went on the first weekend. Mm-hmm. And then Twilight, the same thing, it made a 50% drop. But Avatar, it made 77 first weekend, second weekend, 75 million, which is only a 1% drop, which means people kept coming. I mean, it came, that was a weird thing. It kept coming, people kept going and seeing it. Instead of like Harry Potter, everyone went the first weekend and then it just kind of drained out. With Avatar, people kept coming, and that could be what Disney's thinking, that people will keep, like, it'll be a progressive thing where people keep coming.
Oh, that's it. That's a good point about the film ratings, you know, how much money they made from week to week, so good point about that.
Yeah. But Matt, I have a question. Box office doesn't make a theme park land. Story does. So I think people, a lot of that box office was people going to check it out, the technology for the film, not necessarily they all criticize the story, and that's the problem I have with it.
Yeah. I have the same thing with it, but I think like, for example, for Star Wars, it doesn't Star Tours doesn't focus on like the main core story, kind of like focused on like going through like the lands kind of. Right. And I just feel like that, like, it could just work on like Pandora and just like riding the flying thing, the dragons. And also what's interesting is that there's been reports, they're not officially confirmed, but Avatar 2 finished filming, and Avatar 3 filming is going to start in November, which means Disney could have already seen Avatar 2 like filmed, but not like completely done, but they could kind of know what they're expecting for the second film, so it wasn't a complete like a big risk, but it's a little risk, but they still know what's coming, and that's why the announcement might have came so late and not at D23, because they saw the film now.
Right. Okay. Well, I appreciate the feedback. It was like hearing what our listeners have to say and what their thoughts are, so that's great. Sam, thank you for sharing what you thought.
I love your show. Fantastic.
Thank you, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. 407-278-5939 is our phone number. And again, join us in our chat room. I got some new people in the chat room checking us out, which is awesome. We always like to be able to hear from new chat rooms, like Claire Bear is in the chat room. So you can be like her and be new. I assume it's a her, by the way. But we have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, my name is Mark, and I'm from Minnesota.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
And hi, we're longtime listeners, my wife and I, and Woo. We're going to Disney World in just a couple weeks here. So we're really excited to go there for food and wine. So yay!
Yeah, nice.
Cool. Yeah. So I have a question and then an Avatar comment. So
yeah, go ahead.
Our question is a fireworks viewing question. I have some back issues, so I'd like to be able to find a couple good spots where I can sit to watch both Illuminations and Wishes, and to be able to see the Memories show also, hopefully from the same spot. So wondering if you have any good tips for some spots for those.
The Cantina in Mexico, I haven't been there forever though. Is that an obstructed view?
Yeah, with the new restaurant, right?
Yeah.
There's a roof over the.
Yeah.
To sit. That's the. I mean, you could do the planters on the concourse along the way to World Showcase along, you know, so if you, the main drag in Future World, if you're going past the fountain.
Okay.
You could sit there.
Len, what about right near the where Africa should have been? There's those chairs that are tables right alongside the rock wall.
Oh, yeah. The view isn't great.
No,
but it's better than, I mean, but you're sitting. Yeah,
yeah,
it's true.
You're sitting.
But dude, you're going to have to take this like at 7 o'clock.
We heard the Teppan Edo steps that some people have sat on there.
There's trees and stuff. Yeah. It's not
great. They're not going to let you sit on the stairs.
Yeah. I've seen people get kicked off. They're going to
move you. Yeah. Because I would have suggested Canada, but they're going to move you from the stairs.
Yeah.
How about Magic Kingdom?
There's seating area around the Plaza restaurant. Then there's lower seating back down by the water, which is
section.
It's not going to be great because the angle that you're at, but you know, better than nothing.
What about the Rose Garden?
You can also sit at the Crystal Palace at the end, the part of the Crystal Palace near the that's closest to the Crystal Palace porch that's closest towards Main Street.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Can you see the memory show from that far back?
Like we said earlier, you're not going to see some of the photos aren't going to be as clear as they possibly could, but overall, it'll be fine.
Okay. And then I just wanted to give a plus one to Avatar, Avatar Land. I think it could be pretty good. I know there's some risks, the concerns about, you know, maybe the next movies won't be good, but I would say that James Cameron has a pretty good track record with movies. So, I mean, you never know, but he's held up pretty good in the movies that he's made. And I think there's a lot of upside. I think it's a pretty visually stunning movie. If they can capture a few of the things like the floating islands or the nighttime luminescence, particularly if they can use that to help make Animal Kingdom a nighttime park, because when we've been there for the extra magic hours, I mean, it's really great around Everest and such. If they can add some more areas where they could keep Animal Kingdom open later at night, I think that would be great. And then I just think there's some pretty cool experiences that they could possibly bring in. I mean, you were joking about soaring over Pandora, but I think that could be a really cool experience. And maybe if they could do, you know, the heart of Avatar is this sort of virtual reality sort of thing, and if they had any way to sort of bring that in there, I mean, that would be amazing. So, I don't know. I think it's a good conservation story, too, that could fit in well with Animal Kingdom.
Okay. I just wanted to quickly mention to you, Mike, I know Mike has an opinion. I'll let you go, Mike. Episode 494, we talk about fireworks also, if you're interested in getting some tips on where we like to sit for all the fireworks. Go ahead, Mike.
Talking to me, Matt?
Yes. Yeah, I thought you had a comment for...
Well, I wanted to talk to Mark about... I think one of the things that bothers me is that I think that there are going to be expectations. And I think that no matter how much is put into this, I think that in our minds, what we envision as what we would like to see for attractions and how we can be just... surrounded by the world of Avatar, I think that's one of the things that bothers me. James Cameron makes great movies. Has he ever done anything in a theme park? I don't know. I know that his group is going to have to work with the Disney Imagineering crew and come up with a few things. And are they going to retool attractions that are already out there and somehow transition them to what they're building for Avatar Land or whatever they're going to call it? Maybe. I'd like to see something new. I'd like to see something innovative. I'd like to see something that that's really going to please the Avatar fans. I think the Avatar fans are going to be the. I think the Avatar fans are the ones that are I think those are going to be the toughest audience, more so than the Disney fans. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting. I told my friends. Daughter about Avatar Land, and she's 11, and she was like, really? She was super excited. So I thought that was interesting that there's a broader audience beyond, you know, I mean, I think it's great for bringing in, you know, boys, teen boys, but I think there's a broader audience well beyond that.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, I talked to a 12-year-old boy and he wasn't crazy about it either. So I think it's really, it's, I think it's a debate. I think it's a debate about all kinds of areas, and I think it's going to be a debate that will go on until the ribbon is cut and we see what they put together.
I think Mike, the debate's going to be going on 10 years after it opens.
You might be right. Are we still debating about what could have happened with Muppet Land, you know?
Right, and nothing ever happened with that.
Thanks so much for answering our question. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks for calling in, Mark. Appreciate it.
But, thanks. Mike, one of the things I loved about the episode we did the other day is that it opened up discussion. And that's something, that I love doing on this show, is that, we're not one-sided or both-sided. Everybody gives their own opinions. And the fact that, 45-something people commented that same day about it was pretty cool.
I think so.
Yep. Oh, yeah. It's on everybody's mind.
Absolutely. 407-278-5939. Still plenty of time to get those calls in and get your share your thoughts, comments, questions, whatever it may be. We're here to talk with you. It's your show. This is your opportunity to be part of the WW Today show. So call in 407-278-5939, and we have our next caller on the line. Hi, who's talking with us tonight?
Hi, this is Claire Bear.
Claire Bear.
Hey, first time in chat, first time on the air.
And she is a woman.
It is a she.
It's a she.
Yes. It is a she.
Great, guys. That was great.
What's on your mind tonight, Claire?
Well, actually, I'm a very long-time listener of the podcast, just new to the chat room, Twitter, all of that. So this is actually the first time I've actually made the show live. I've heard it, but just not live. That was great. Anyway, I have a non-Avatar question, actually.
Yeah, go ahead.
We are staying in the Vistana Orlando Sheraton Resort.
Mm-hmm.
And normally we have stayed in the park every time we come. We stayed in All Stars like that. This time we have a little bit larger group of people. And this is my question. Does anybody know, as far as the shuttle service is concerned, how reliable or frequent it is to the parks?
I'm not sure exactly how the Vistana ranks, but I mean, generally speaking, we're not huge fans of off-site shuttle resorts service. They tend to be limited a lot of times. Like they'll I know that a lot of times they'll like maybe do a couple in the morning and a couple in the evening. But that's it. Like, they're not, like, anywhere near as good as Disney. I've heard good things about the Vistana, but if I were you, I would rent a car.
Well, we're driving, so we'll have our vehicle.
Okay, so then, yeah, that would be fine. I mean, you can
definitely drive, okay.
Yeah, I would. What you can do is call the resort, actually. You can call them now and just ask them, hey, what's your shuttle service like for the parks, assuming they have one? And they can give you an idea.
Yeah, they did, and they didn't. I mean, like, we called, and they were kind of vague about it.
That's not a good sign.
What does that tell you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why I was asking. I figured as much, but I thought, I don't know.
Yeah, I would
definitely drive your car, and just know that while Disney has all the covered bus stops and stations out there so you can wait, if you're at one of those other resorts, you're standing in the middle of a parking lot waiting on the bus.
Right, those buses, they don't go to the same stops, right, Annette?
No, they don't. So,
In fact, doesn't those buses, like, in the Magic Kingdom, doesn't those buses go to the TTC and not to the front of the Magic Kingdom?
Right.
So you still
have to go to TTC. That's right, Mike.
Right.
Oh, so it doesn't even go directly up to the resort, up to the park.
To the gate, right.
Directly to the Magic Kingdom. You have to go either through the ferry or the boat. Okay.
Right, with the regular people.
Right.
Okay. Well, that answered my question. I appreciate
that
helped, it, guys.
Huh?
Yeah, it does.
Cool. Thanks, Claire.
Thank you.
Take care.
407-278-5939. And if you want to rank the bus systems, I think you've got Disney's bus system is the best. The downtown Disney buses are probably second place. And then all the other offsite stuff is way below in third place there. 407-278-5939. And I think this is Long Island.
Hello?
Hi, who are we speaking with?
Aloha.
Oh, hi, this is Jeanette from West Hempstead, Long Island.
516, hey, Jeanette. In the house.
Hi. Is this Mike Newell?
I'm here. Hi.
Yes, Mike Newell's here.
Oh, hey.
The whole gang's here tonight.
Wow, I got a little bit of a delay here. Well, actually, I'm going to be coming down on Wednesday, and I'm very excited. I can't wait.
Woo. Oh, cool.
And,
flying out of LaGuardia?
Actually, yeah, we're flying out of LaGuardia, and then we're returning from JFK.
Oh, cool.
I have to turn off my computer. I'm getting a really bad delay here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, I actually, yeah, I'm hoping to see you guys on Sunday at the meet in, over at the Mexico Pavilion.
Yep.
See.
Yes, Touring Plans is having a meet, 2 o'clock, Mexico Pavilion on Sunday, October 2nd. You should be there. Anyone who's
free,
around.
Free goodies, man. Free food, free drinks,
oh,
and free surprises.
I can't wait to meet all you guys.
Oh, it should be fun.
So, well, actually, I do have a question for you, Len. Yep. I am a brand new DDC member, plan on getting an annual pass, and I wanted to find out some information about Tables in Wonderland.
Yep.
And finding out, I guess, pretty much what is the break-even point?
The break-even is around, so it's going to cost you $75, right, for the pass?
Right, right.
So you get a 20% discount, so you'd have to spend 5 times what you paid for it for break-even. So it works out to be 75 times 5 is what, 300 and...
There's a spreadsheet for that.
$375 is your break-even point.
There's a spreadsheet.
Yeah, so if you spend, if you spend $375 on table service meals annually in Walt Disney World, and for me that's pretty much hourly. Then,
One Mexico meet, right?
Yeah, well, believe me. If I could get away for $375 for Mexico, it'd be a bigger route than the Alamo was. $375.
Yeah, trying to figure out because I'll be coming down this week, and then I'm coming back again for 4th of July next summer. So I don't know if that's going to be worth it, but thank you for the information.
You're very welcome. Yeah, it should be totally $375. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, I don't think we're probably going to do like 1 or 2 sit downs this trip. I don't foresee, you know, of course Mexico being one of them, and I don't know if it'll be worth it. So.
Okay,
but. I just also wanted to weigh in on the whole Avatar thing. Yeah. Not so much a fan of it. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it has a big enough fan base to be a whole land dedicated to it. You know, like a Star Wars land would be great, or Muppets land, or even Harry Potter has a big enough fan base following. I don't know if Avatar really has that.
Okay, you know? So one for the no column. All right. Cool.
Yeah, it's definitely going in the no column. But thanks so much, guys. I love listening to you and looking forward to meeting you on Sunday.
Cool. See you on Sunday.
Safe trip.
Take care.
Hey, Len.
407-278. Linda got some water.
Oh.
He got all choked up when he started thinking about what he was going to spin Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
He's totally like, BRB.
More people are coming. I'll be right back.
More calls on the way. Let's keep things going with our next caller. Hi, who's on the air with us?
Hi, this is Sean calling.
Sean.
Hey, Sean.
Yeah, I'm calling actually about this coming Saturday, the big 40th anniversary celebration at the Magic Kingdom.
Yes.
And I wanted to know what your thoughts are about the crowds for that day.
It's a good question. I mean, Len just is, he'll be right back. But my thoughts is I don't think it's going to be, I mean, I don't think the park's going to close by any means. It's not going to be like July 4th crowds. I think it'll be slightly elevated than it would have been if it was July 1st or October 1st any other year. I mean, you're going to have a few people there. But like I always said, I think if you stood at the turnstiles and you asked guests if they knew that it was the 40th anniversary today, I think 95% would have no clue. So I'm not sure the average guest, which influences the park trends the most, is going to know about. I think it'll be elevated. I think it'll be more crowded again than it'll probably be on October 2nd or on September 30th.
You might get a lot of locals, though. You might get a lot of locals, I think.
You might. You're going to have...
It's a Saturday,
an elevated amount. But I don't think it's going to be like it's not going to be like July 4th or New Year's when the park like closes to cast.
No.
I don't think.
Nothing like that, no.
Right. Yeah,
especially in the morning hours, because that's when the event is going on. They have the 10 a.m. Ceremony. But I think like after lunch you'll see a drop off.
Yeah, we're actually going to be doing a day trip coming up to South Florida, so we'll probably be getting there around 10 or 11,
I'll actually be bringing a first-time visitor with me. So that's why I was kind of wondering what the crowds were going to look like.
Okay, yeah, Len, do you have any expectations for, like, a number for what you're expecting for crowds on October 1st at the Magic Kingdom?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be... hold on one second.
Yeah, I see it's a 7.4 on touring plans.
Yeah, so it's a little bit above average, but it's not going to be, you know, spring break or Christmassy type crowds.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, I appreciate the help, guys.
Cool.
Thank you for calling in.
Thanks.
407-278-5939. Hey, don't forget... This episode, this live show of WW Today is being sponsored by touringplans.com. That's right, touringplans.com is your best resource for helping you plan to get around those crowds. Just like that last call about, you know, what happens on October 1st. Well, it doesn't matter if it's the Magic Kingdom's 40th anniversary, July 4th, New Year's Eve, or if it's, you know, September 25th, one of the slower days of the year. Touringplans.com has the tools and resources to help you get around those crowds. They got the crowd calendar, which tells you which parks to go to and which to avoid on any day of the year. They've got touring plans for nearly every situation you can think of, you know, young children, half day, Epcot. I'm sure there's something like that. You can check those out. They've got some other great resources online. They have the blog, which is frequented by some of the people in their chat room right now, like Tom Bricker, Scarlett, a lot of other people write for the blog. Len sometimes write for the blog too. So you can check that out. All the stuff, everything I'm telling you about, it's all at touringplans.com. So go there right now and check them out. And, we'll keep things rolling here in our second hour, and let's keep things with our next call. I think it's another call from New York.
Really?
Yeah. Hi, guys.
Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Peter from New York.
Hey, Peter. How's it going, Peter? What's up, man?
Hi. I have a question for Matt.
Yeah, go ahead, Peter.
Did you see the latest issue of Orlando's Attractions magazine yet?
I have not seen it.
That would be the one with the Citizens of Hollywood on the cover.
Okay, cool. And I haven't seen that yet. That's cool that they put them on there. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I got one. I got my copy in the mail. I didn't even know where it came from. And it turned out my sister got me a subscription to it because she knew that I liked those guys.
Awesome. Oh, nice. That's great. I'm glad that Matt Rosenboom, who runs the Attractions Magazine, decided to put him on there. That's great.
Yeah. And which leads me to the whole Avatar thing. I think the money that they're investing in Avatar should be redistributed to the Disney's Hollywood studios and invested in Citizens of Hollywood to, you know, give it more of a boost.
Oh, from your lips to God's ears.
Yeah, right.
That'd be great, Peter. I would love to see that, but I don't think it'll ever happen. But I told, dude, if it comes down to a vote, plus one from Matt Hotchberg.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for calling in. So we got a no from Peter there, Mike.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for calling in, Pete.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
407-278-5939.
Speaking of live entertainment in the studios, Matt, I've been looking for a really good picture of Mulch, Sweat, and Shears, if you have one.
Okay, cool. I'll look through the archives. If not, Len, I will get one for you.
I appreciate that, man. Thanks very much.
I'm no Tom Bricker, but I will do my best.
Actually, Tom's is the photo that I have right now that I'm going to go with, unless you can find something a bit better.
Okay, so you're saying that Tom's photo is awful. I got it. All right, very good.
I'm saying that Tom's is the standard by which others are going to be judged.
We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Maybe we're not.
Hello. Hello, is this Matt?
They got through.
Hello? Is this Matt?
Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hey, this is Tom from Sunman.
Hey, Tom.
How's it going, Tom?
I got a quick question for you. Yeah. I'm coming down, actually, on Wednesday, and I'm staying at the Pop Century Resort.
I've heard of that.
I vaguely remember Len saying that he would bring the Starbucks Via packets with him.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anywhere there to actually get the hot water to put in there?
I forgot to mention this, but I actually have a small travel kettle that I come with too, a little plastic one. that'll boil 4 cups of water. But yeah, it's
last a travel kettle, so in case the Oregon Trail breaks out, you've got your kettle ready to go.
Well, it's electric, so the Oregon Trail's gonna have to break out with an extension cord. But yeah, but you know, yeah. So that's it. What you could do is you could just go grab some hot water from the cafeteria too.
Okay. That's what I was wondering, if they actually had it there in the area.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're gonna do that, bring an insulated mug.
I definitely have that.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Also, I have an 8 o'clock Wild Africa trek on the 29th.
Cool.
Will I be able to catch a bus over there, or do you think I'd need to get a taxi over to that area?
That's a good question, because you're going to have to get there like 7:30 for the prep and everything.
Yeah.
Right.
Taxi.
I don't even know how you're going to get in, though. That's the thing. I mean, Are the toll booths going to be staffed? I guess you could just drive through. Yeah, you'd be fine.
Let the taxi just drive through.
Let the taxi drive through, exactly. It's funny, because when I did it, actually, the gates weren't open, and they didn't let us in until like 3 minutes before 8.
Okay. Well, yeah, hopefully they have it worked out by now.
Yeah, my only concern about the cab is that you'd be paying for the meter, but I think you'll be okay.
Okay. Also, on the Avatar thing, I personally think we just don't really know enough to come to any conclusions on anything. So I'm all for just the wait and see approach.
Yeah,
sounds like a yes. I mean,
it's all gonna be in the details, man.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Well, thanks a lot, guys.
Cool.
Thanks for calling in.
Good luck.
407-278-5939 is our phone number.
Len, I was thinking about it. You know what I'd like to see instead of Avatar Land?
What?
Be Arthur Land.
Be Golden Girls Land. I think they had that once and they demolished it, didn't they?
I think that
they
would...
did. They had a house and
more. Bastards.
Come on, that would be great.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Calling in next, we have our next caller on the line. Hi, who's on the air with us?
Hi, this is Karen from Cleveland.
Hey, Karen.
Hi. Guess what, the Avatar? Well, I have a question about the Disney Dream, but with the Avatar, I haven't seen the movie, and I haven't really had any interest in it, but now I want to see it just because I'm kind of want to see what's coming, I guess, but I'm kind of for it. I'd like something new at Animal Kingdom. I just hope they do it right.
Right.
I was a little skeptical at first, but I agree with what was said earlier. It's kind of risky because they haven't come out with the other movies yet. So, but I hope it's good. I hope the Imagineers and like James Cameron, you know, that's a lot of talent right there. So I'm hoping it's good. Yeah, you know, I look forward to it. So, but my question was the Disney Dream. We are going on it. This will be our first Disney cruise. We're going on it next month. And I went online last night. We completed our online check-in. And the earliest we could select a port arrival time was 1:30. Mm-hmm. And we were thinking all along that we would try to get there early, like 10:30, 11. And now I don't know if that would even be worth it to go. I don't know if anybody's had any experience with that, getting to the port and what's a good time to go. Or
I like to get there as early as possible, like 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Matt?
Yeah.
Matt?
Yes.
They've changed things up a little bit, so.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Oh, yeah.
Start telling her to go at 10.
Yeah, that's right. Good
didn't
point.
They just last month, I think,
yeah.
Right?
It's within the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
They're not letting you in until your assigned time. So if you show up early, there's a possibility. Some people have been able to get through. Some people have not. So,
yeah.
What a scam.
The problem is they have a bigger ship, but the port itself is not any bigger than it was before.
Yeah.
So where they have everybody staging inside,
Crimea River, they have a bigger ship, Freedom of the Seas, next door, and they manage. So don't tell me that Disney is special.
They have a bigger place for you to hang out. So
Crimea River, they can do it. They've been doing it. I don't buy it. Sorry, it's Matt's opinion. Matt doesn't think that that's a...
And that's right, though.
That's Matt's opinion, but it's not going to change things when you show up at the port at
9:30. I know.
And then remember when we sailed on the Meteor cruise, they had us... some people got locked outside. You couldn't get in.
Some people, Becky, were locked out. And yeah. Some of us were in.
And that's right. You couldn't fit... They weren't able to fit the entire passenger manifest, or whatever you want to call it, inside the terminal.
Right. And what's happening is they were adjusting the buses from the resorts coming over, and they thought that would... And they delayed them. So they were coming over later, so that drive on and everybody arriving at the port would get on. Well, now so many people have figured that one out, and they want to get on the ship at noon. They're changing it because they're still running into problems.
So
you can call into Cruise Line. You can ask them if there's any way you can get an earlier time.
Okay.
For a few people, but not many, because it really is. They kind of assign it to you. But, you know, enjoy, if you're at the parks, you can enjoy the parks a little bit more. You know, you can go and enjoy the beach for a half a day. But really, not able to get onto the ship until 12 to 12:30 anyway. So if your time's 1.
Yeah, 1:30.
Yeah, I mean, if you're getting there, you're checking in, then they're trying to make it so you're not hanging out in the port lobby with nothing for forever.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the positive I can say. But, yeah, I'm with Matt. I've always been one that loved to get there when the port opens so I could be there, get all that stuff behind me, and get on the ship.
Start your vacation.
Yeah, they're trying to adjust a little bit now.
Yeah, that's what we had kind of wanted, was to get there early, to just get on the ship and get lunch. And I'm thinking if we get there, you know, by around that time, we'd still have time to grab a lunch. I guess I'm just worried about the crowds, too, and I just don't want, you know, we're going with our family. I don't want everybody to get all frustrated on the first day with lines and crowds and stuff. But
and that's one of the reasons, too, that they're trying to spread out everybody's arrival time.
Right.
So you're not having that huge line.
Are they allowing sweet guests to get in earlier? Is that the people that get the earlier times? Someone's getting in at 11 o'clock, right?
Yes.
Yeah, all the times were taken up, and I wasn't able to select any of the times until 1:30. That was the earliest. And I think 11 o'clock was, or 10:30, 11 was something like the earliest.
That would make me angry, but a lot of crews, I guess.
Yeah. Other question I had was, we're renting a car, and we're going to drive to the port. Mm-hmm. And is it fairly easy to get there? The parking, is it close to the terminal?
What car rental are you using?
I haven't booked it yet. I was going to try to do like Alamo, just because they, you know, sometimes they have the last minute deals. But
I don't believe Alamo has anything at the port, but Hertz, Dollar, there's a bunch of them down there that you can look at.
Make sure they have a shuttle. Not all of them have a free shuttle.
Yeah. But what about aren't you able to self-park at the port, too? Or?
Oh, you could if you wanted to do that. Most people, when they rent a car, they go drop it off and then bring a shuttle over, because you're going to have to pay to park. So now you're renting a car and paying to park it.
Okay. I guess I just have to see which is cheaper, for a rental for the week, or because after the cruise, we're going to go back to Disney.
Right.
So see if it's cheaper to do two different rentals or one rental for the whole week, I guess.
Cool.
Yeah,
right?
Do the math.
So.
Cool.
But I guess what's that?
I was just going to say, there's if you're considering how much it would cost to park, there are off-site parking things that are cheaper. One of the hotels offers one. I think it's, if you just Google like parking Port Canaveral, it's like portcanaveralparking.com or something like that. And I would look into it for my cruise, and they you basically just park at like the Ramada or something like that, and it's like it's like $9 a day or something, which is cheaper. I think it's about 15 or so at Disney. So if you can save, that might save some money there in that aspect.
Oh, and they would probably have a shuttle then or something to the
terminal? Yes, and they offer a shuttle. And it's pretty close by.
Or a taxi or something. Okay. All right, I didn't even think about that. That's a good idea. Okay.
Cool.
All right, thanks for the advice and the info.
Cool. Thanks for calling.
I know you're going to have a great time.
I know. We're real excited. So.
Cool.
Thanks.
407-278-5939, our phone number. Hi, who was online with us?
Oh, hey, this is Thad from Cincinnati.
Hey, Thad, what's up?
Hey, I just wanted to ask you guys, in for each of you, what's your favorite place around any of the parks to have a drink, to have a cocktail?
Ooh, Len, what about you, my friend?
Oh, start with Len.
How about, can I choose? Oh, so I guess All-Star Vacation, or All-Star Resorts is out, right?
Yeah. So,
romantic walk, Matt. You've got the
romantic walk. Are we doing in the parks or out of the parks?
I would say probably in the parks. I mean, the hotels I know have you know, bars you could go to. So yeah, I'm kind of looking for in the parks.
So Epcot, of course, is my favorite. La Cava del Tequila, where we're having the meetup next week, is my favorite place. I like the whole idea that they've got there with two sit down restaurants, a counter service restaurant, and a bar. And I think really the bar is sort of the prototype for what Disney should be doing at all the other countries in World Showcase. It's small. It's intimate, you know. They've got appetizers, it's interesting. But the really cool thing is it's really well run. The manager and the guys that are the people that are running the restaurant brought in a tequila expert, so that it's not just retail. They brought in people to make sure that they're doing it right, and then they're constantly on Twitter and Facebook making sure that. They're getting the word out about promotions. Like they're running a promotion this upcoming week, right before Food and Wine starts. So it's they've got the right locations. The menu's interesting in that it's they're constantly updating it, and it seems to be well run. In the studios, I like TuneIn Lounge actually quite a bit. Matt, you were there a couple weeks ago when we walked. Yeah, it was your meet that we bought drinks after.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. TuneIn Lounge is a great spot. I love that.
Yeah, TuneIn Lounge. The peanut butter and jelly milkshake there is fabulous, by the way.
Wait a minute. Did I misunderstand something? There was a meet and we bought drinks, but it was Matt's drink. It was Matt's meet. Is that what you said?
Yeah, it was
Matt,
great.
It was your meet and we bought drinks.
It worked out pretty well, I thought.
It was Matt's meet. And I bought drinks for everyone that attended. Yeah.
So lesson here is have a meet and invite Lynn.
Exactly. Yeah. That's really all I'm asking here. Is that so wrong?
I thought I heard that.
I like the TuneIn Lounge. Making it kind of busy in there, but what I like to do if it's kind of busy and weather permitting, order the drink at the TuneIn Lounge and then take it over and walk over by Echo Lake. They have some nice tables with chairs set up over there, and you can sit down and enjoy your beverage while you look out onto the wonderful Vistana of Echo Lake.
Vista.
Sounds romantic.
That's a big word. I like that.
Yeah.
He had to look it up.
What about you, Scopa? Where do you like to enjoy an adult beverage?
Well, it's funny. I was thinking the last time I was down there, I tried a beer this wasn't in the parks. It was Big River Grill, and I just loved the beer there. Other than that, I like the sangria at Via Napoli. But I, other than those two, I can't think of anything else.
I mean, the last time we went, the one thing that I just really loved was the beer flight in Germany, and it kind of got me thinking what else would be kind of a great thing to do.
That's Annette's favorite, too.
Oh, is it? Okay. And that has good taste. All right. So then my last thing, and I'll try and make it quick, when my wife and I go this coming March, I really want to try and drink around the world. Is there a best way of attack for that, or is it just choose one end and just barrel on through for the day?
Take your time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, make it take all day. It should really take from like 11 to 9.
Yeah.
And use public transportation.
Okay. Yeah. Or just stay somewhere close.
Okay. Excellent idea. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Cool. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. I was looking it up, but I couldn't find the episode number. We did an episode actually. I think it was a listener question show. Where we Glenn especially was talking about strategies and tactics for drinking around the world, but I couldn't find it really quick. So
make
someone sees it
as long as you actually, possibly can.
Yeah.
Post it in the chat room. I'll mention it on the air.
Yeah.
Next caller's on the line. Hi, who's on the air with us?
This is Alan
caller
from Marietta. Let me turn off my
there you go,
feed.
Hey, Alan.
Sorry about that, guys. Hey, Matt, I don't know if you remember, but 2 years ago there was an Epcot cruise after my son's wedding with the rabbi and such.
Yes.
Jonathan and, and then we went to dinner at Cat Cora's.
That's right. It's good to hear from you.
I had a couple of things. We're actually coming down to watch my kids run in the race this weekend, Food and Wine Half Marathon. And I was wondering about good spots for watching them or catching up to them during the race, since we aren't running, obviously.
Scopa, any thoughts on that?
Well, Alan, this is a race that takes place at 10 o'clock at night, and most of the course. You won't be able to see the runners. My suggestion is that you think of two things. Number one, storm along bay. The runners will be running down past the Yacht Club and the Beach Club and going into Epcot through the International Gateway. Other than that, you'd have to be in Epcot or down at the finish line, which I think is in the, I'm going to guess, Len, you might, Discovery. I think it's the Discovery parking lot in Epcot. You know, if you want to see them along the way, I think that if you can make arrangements with them to say, hey, we're going to be near the Yacht Club or the Beach Club when you run by, that is like mile 11, mile 12. I think that would be the best place to spot them. It's going to be at night. It's going to be around midnight or whatever. Yeah. So you got to keep that in mind. It's going to be confusing to a lot of people because it's at night.
Yeah. Yeah, my daughter-in-law has they've started running preparing for night running, and she's been having some issues with eating and going that late, so going to be interesting for them. Yeah,
and she has to worry about
Storm-along Bay. Storm-along Bay will be near the end. Do you know, speaking of 10 and midnight, I know the 40th celebration are talking about special fireworks at the Magic Kingdom. Do you know what time that's going to be? Could we go see those and then see them at Storm-along Bay?
You can't see them storm along bay, I don't think.
Oh, you can't see the fireworks.
Well, could we go to the park?
Yeah, well, you could take the best thing to do would be to watch the fireworks. I'd say watch the fireworks at the train station, shoot out, and take the monorail to Epcot, or maybe even better, take a bus to Beach Club or Yacht Club, and because you could, you know, you'd be leaving the Magic Kingdom sometime after 10. And that's when the the race begins at 10 o'clock at World of Sports. So it'll be okay.
Yeah, so the fireworks will be at 10?
I'm guessing it'll be at 10. Okay. I don't know.
They haven't said. Is there any other 40th celebration stuff coming up?
No, it's just the stuff I'm mentioning. There's basically a 10 a.m. ceremony at the Magic Kingdom. There's some cupcakes you can buy. Of course, there'll be some pins and vinyl nation because, you know, we can't forget those. And then they'll have fireworks also.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll have to see. It's funny because I started looking back at my records. I was there the first year to the fifth year on October, the fifth year for the anniversary, the 10th year, the 15th, the 20th, the 25th, but I missed the 30th and 35th. But I'll make it for the 40th.
Cool. Well, the fireworks, by the way, at the Magic Kingdom are at 9 o'clock. Right, Charlie was telling us. So thank you very much, B. Arthur. Thank you very much, B. Arthur. And And Alan, if you're going to be there on Sunday, come drop by the Touring Plans meet or AJ's Foodie Fest meet. They're all both on Sunday.
Yeah, I got just wrote down the lens meet at Mexico.
Cool.
So we'll definitely be there. Yeah, I just said RSVP'd. The other thing, just an FYI, we just got back from Europe. We went to, what's that park called? Euro Disneyland? Oh, I mean Disneyland Paris?
Oh, yeah, what'd you think?
Intimate.
Intimate.
That was a great way of putting it.
Yeah, we walked around the Hollywood Studios in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, there's not a lot of there.
No. We concentrated on the unique stuff, but I have to say, I thought Pirates and was pretty good out there.
Yeah, I think so too. Pirates is really good. Yeah.
Yeah, if I was going to rate the attractions, that's probably one of the best Pirates. Almost, I think, even better than Disneyland. Now, I haven't been to Hong Kong or Tokyo, of course, yet. But that's in the works for 2013. It's on my.
You think it's better than Disneyland's?
I think so. I thought it was very well themed and a very good ride, and
really?
We really enjoyed it. Yeah, I don't. You know, it's hard to compare because I have. You know, it's been a while since I've been at Disneyland. I haven't been able to get out there recently.
Yeah.
But I have to say, fresh is in the mind right now. I'm Disneyland Paris is Pirates is definitely neat. Phantom Manor is definitely different too, and that was
it is.
Yeah. So, well, looking forward to seeing y'all guys this weekend.
Cool. Oh, thank you.
Thanks
for see you soon.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Thanks.
See you.
Talk to you later.
407-278-5939, our phone number, and your opportunity to call in. And don't forget to join us in our chat room. It's live.wdwtoday.com. You can join us in the chat room there. Not only are we in there, but we've got lots of other callers who are in, lots of other listeners, rather, who are in there. And, you know, discussing the different topics that we're talking about. It's really a great opportunity to make the live show a lot more interactive. We want to hear your opinions. We got some great opinions and comments going in there. So, again, it's live.wdwtoday.com. There's a video there, too. You can see Mike Newell. It's a lot of fun. 407-278-5939 is our phone number. Hi, who are we speaking with?
It's Liz from Chicago.
Hey, Liz.
Hey, Liz.
Hey, Liz.
Hi, I was just wondering, I have a really early breakfast out at Trails End. How early do the boats run if I park at the TTC, or should I just drive to Fort Wilderness?
I would drive to Fort Wilderness, Liz, just to make sure you make it on time.
All right. I was just trying because we were going to go to Magic Kingdom afterward. I thought if I parked at the TTC, it'd be one less move. But you don't think the boats are going to run?
The other thing you could do is you could park at, I've done this, park at Wilderness Lodge and take a nice walk to Fort Wilderness. You could do that.
Yeah, actually, you could do that. There's a walking trail. What is it, like a mile?
It's maybe 20-minute walk. Yeah.
All right, that's great. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Thanks. Cool.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
407-278-5939. Next call on the line. Hi, who's on the air with us?
Hi, this is John from Farmington, not Long Island.
Yeah, so. We've did that before. I've made that mistake.
What's on your mind tonight, John?
Well, I wanted to chime in on the Avatar discussion. I basically think you guys hit it on the head on Friday's show. I think the expansion is great, but I don't understand why they didn't keep it in-house. You have Lion King 3D coming out now. Lion King would make a great addition. And even maybe even a Star Wars land. I know people were looking forward to seeing that. You have the entire Pixar library to choose from. You know, Nemo would look great. Possibly even the environmental theme tied in with Wall-E, I think might make a great addition also to the Animal Kingdom.
I didn't think of that.
You know, it got me thinking, you know, what do you think Lucas and Lasseter think about Disney going to James Cameron on this, you know? Anyway, so my question is, since Walt's passing, which attractions do you think he would be most and least proud of? The Avatar expansion got me thinking in that direction. And I really think that he'd be most proud of the Living Character Initiative. I think that's cutting-edge technology. I think it is a new field. And I think that's great. I think that's something that Walt would approve of. And as far as what he would be least proud of, I think I know what Scope is going to say, Mission Space. But I think what they did to Main Street, I think tearing up Main Street and making it all merchandise, you know, getting rid of the penny arcade, getting rid of the magic shop. I thought those things were great on Main Street. And I think it takes away from Walt's original vision of what that Main Street would look like. And I just wanted to get your take on that. And I appreciate the show. I love the show. I love the unofficial guide, touringplans.com, Lines App. I love it all. Thank you very much. Want to hear what you guys have to say about that?
Go ahead, Scuba. What do you think?
Well, John knows me real well. I think that what he said about Main Street is very true. If you notice that very little is touched in Disneyland, or it's treated as a very sacred place because he had his hand on Main Street out in Anaheim. He didn't have his hand that much in Walt Disney World. He was getting ill when they were getting into building it and everything. So I think that Main Street is one of those areas that they would never touch in Disneyland. He's right about Mission Space. And my reasoning for that is that I think Walt, from that time, he was sitting on the bench and he thought that there should be attractions for every member of the family. Mission Space does not cater to every member of the family. I think that he would be very, very pleased with Soarin'. I think he would be very much pleased with Turtle Talk. I think he would be very pleased with any dark ride. But I think that Mission Space would definitely be on the far end. And I think that, you know, again, the key here is that he would want a family-type ride attraction.
Okay. 478-5939, our phone number. We have our next call on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hey, this is Tom from your favorite city in Minnesota, New Hope.
New Hope.
How are you guys?
Good. How's it going? How are things in that bum town, Hope?
Everything's, we got that New Hope, so we're all doing good.
We're all doing good.
Awesome.
Stay, I was calling. I got a mug question.
Yep. The mugs. Uh-oh. Yes, go ahead.
Mugged.
So are they still only in one, doing this testing in one resort, or is it starting to move out?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I think it's still just at the All-Star Resorts, right? I haven't seen, or All-Star Sports even. I don't think it's all. I haven't heard of it going to any of the resorts, yeah.
They might actually just keep it at the Value Resorts for a while, just because that's where the volume is.
Yeah, Cheryl Perlmutter in the chat room is saying not moving out.
Okay. Yeah, so it's we're going in November, and we check in on the 13th at Port Orleans French Quarter, but we're actually going down 3 days earlier, and for whatever reason, my wife just got another PIN code, so we're going to stay at a Value for the first 3 nights we're there before we get to Port Orleans. So we were just curious as to when we bought a mug there, if it's going to work, you know, at the next resort. So I guess that kind of answers that.
Yeah, sure. It should, yeah. No problem.
And then I guess I had one other question as far as checking into the resort. If our flight gets in at, I think our flight gets in at 11:30 p.m., so okay. By the time we get to rent a car and get to the hotel, I don't know, probably like 1:30.
Yeah, good reason.
Still the day before, right?
Sorry, say that last part again?
So if we technically are checking in on the 11th, but we arrive on the, like our flight lands on the 10th, but by the time we get to the hotel, it's 1:30 in the morning, so it's the 11th. We're paying for the 10th, right?
Yeah, you're paying for that night.
Yeah, yeah, you're still paying, yeah.
Okay. Unless we slept in our car in the parking lot.
No, you're paying for the night, yeah.
Okay, all right, that's what we thought.
Very good.
Yep.
Cool.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
You know, that reminds me of that storyline from TenFest, actually, where Fred Hazelton, your master statistician, he was sleeping in the tent like us bums, and he couldn't take it after a while. And he went to, I think he went with Henry also, right?
Yeah, one of the All-Star Resorts?
Yes.
No, I think it was Port Orleans. I think it was one of those.
Oh, Port Orleans, yeah, it was Port Orleans, yeah, because there was a race going on, yeah.
And it was like, you know, it was like 1 or 2 a.m. in the morning. It was that cold and that miserable.
It couldn't
take it anymore.
It was freezing. Yeah, it was just bad.
And he went to the resort and said, you know, I'm checking in technically today. And they actually gave him the room.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
So, you never know. The power of asking.
That's what it is.
407-278-5939. Next call on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, it's Joe from South Jersey.
Hey, Joe.
Joe, how's it going?
Hey, Len. How you doing? How you doing, guys?
Good.
What's up, Joe?
I was at Enrique Iglesias concert last night.
He was really good, man. So Prince Royce opened for him, and then Pitbull came out. I want to know who Pitbull's personal trainer is, because that dude did not stop for like 35 minutes. He's just constantly in motion. He's in great shape. And then, you know, Enrique's fabulous. So, you know, it was a lot of fun.
Well, that's good. Glad to hear you.
Sorry to get to see you, man. Starting to get to see you. It was too much time in the Met. I think we ended up. yeah, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, that place was huge. When I looked at the map, I was like, "Geez, man, that's just ridiculous how big that place is."
Yeah, it is.
I had two questions that I was actually going to ask you yesterday if we were able to get lunch.
Oh, what's up?
When you buy an annual pass, you pay tax online, right? Which I guess would be. It's either your local tax or Florida state tax.
Yeah, they include Florida state tax. 6.75% now.
Yeah, actually, it depends on technically if you bought it in a different county, but yeah, it's about 7% or so.
Yeah, between 6 and 7%, sure.
Well, what if I went and bought the voucher in, say, Delaware, where there is no tax?
Do they still sell them, though, in Delaware, like in the Disney stores you're talking about?
I'm sorry?
You mean like buying it at a Disney store?
Yeah, like buy the annual pass voucher.
I don't know if they still sell them anymore in the Disney stores. They used to back in the day. But I thought I had heard, I could be wrong, but I thought I had heard they stopped doing that. Oh, someone's saying, no, Maxie Burns in the chat room says, yes, they sell them in the Disney store.
Also, I think they got signs that talk about it.
There you go. Also, iHeartBiscuits has a good point. They also sell them to AAA. So if you're a AAA member and you have a AAA office near you, that could be an option.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, definitely. So I was just looking at a way to save, 7% or well,
sure. I see where you're going with it. Yeah.
This is like the Kramer episode where he goes to Seinfeld episode where Kramer goes to Michigan to get 10 cents on the soda can. This is what you're doing right now.
Hey, I live like literally 18 miles from the mall, so it's not
how much
like
gas
a big deal.
Spend and how much that is. You gotta figure it out.
Well, do you guys have any tips for first-time annual pass owners?
Oh man,
go ahead. I was just gonna say, Joe. No matter where you go, store, restaurant, always ask if there are any discounts for your annual pass. You never know. Policy changes on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes you'll get a discount when you least expect it. So wherever you go, make sure you let the merchants know, the restaurant know that you're an annual pass holder.
Okay. All right. How about as far as like planning trips for annual pass? Like, how many trips do you guys try to plan out in, say, for the next 6 months to a year?
Well, we don't count.
We're
different.
I would say the thing I would say is if you're trying to get the most out of it, value resorts to your friend. Offsite hotels. If you're not driving down though, are you, Joe? That's like 20 hours.
No, I just got done driving there, and I'm never doing it again.
No. So value resorts. The occasional rental car and offsite hotel. You get more visits. But I think the more you go, the less important it is where you stay.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're there so much. Definitely look at the offsite hotels as well.
Yeah, I was thinking, I think we're going to stay at the beach club, actually, for reunion, so that we can walk to, like, half the parks, because we're actually taking a friend of ours down, me and Melissa, so...
Nice.
Time is that, of the essence, and I figured if you don't have to, less time waiting for a bus, more time doing stuff.
So, exactly.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
No, man.
All right.
Cool. Take care. Have a good night.
Tip.
You too.
See you in December.
Reunion's coming up. Don't forget, reunion is that's going to be December 7th, the 11th, 2011. All the details are at 2011reunion.net. And we're really looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. We want so many of you to be a part of reunion this year. And especially now that September's over, we're going to really be pumping this up and expect a lot of details about reunion coming up. And if you're not already planning on coming, see if you can find that extra weekend to come by, because it's going to be so much fun this year. We're going to have such a great time. And, we want as many people as possible to be there. Definitely. Details are at 2011reunion.net.
Cool.
Next caller on the line. Oops. Next caller on the line. Hi, who's on the air with us?
Hey, guys. It's Ashley from Virginia.
Ashley.
What's up, guys? So calling to chime in on this whole avatar thing. Been kind of letting other phone calls come in. And I have to say, this is the first kind of thing that Disney's announced that I've just been kind of like, what? But I've actually had a lot of opinion about. So let me just start by saying this, that Titanic literally stole 3.5 hours of my life, and I'm still pretty bitter about it, simply because everybody ran out to see this, amazing movie. All your girlfriends are coming to work going, oh my gosh, I just couldn't sleep last night after seeing this movie. And I went and finally saw the movie, and I just walked out going, wait a second. Okay, wait a second.
You were rooting for the iceberg at the end, were you?
Totally. I was just so disappointed because while visually James Cameron did an amazing job, the costumes, all of that was superb. It was awesome. But the bottom line storyline, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just that weird one out there that likes depth to storyline. And that's what makes me nervous. Up to the point of the announcement, I had not seen Avatar. Didn't want to. I was like, James Cameron owes me 3 hours of my life back. And so I just wasn't going to watch it. And I enjoy science fiction. I wasn't a big fan of it before, but thanks to my husband, I've gotten kind of on board with some of it. But we all know that a good science fiction film is going to have, you know, a lot of religious and political and social theme to it. It's going to have a lot of that kind of driving force behind it. So I finally sat down a couple nights ago and we watched it, you know, got our Blu-ray player out, put the Blu-ray in. And again, what did we get? Visually, it was stunning. It was amazing. There is no doubt that they're going to lay thousands of miles of fiber optics and walking into the animal kingdom at night. It's going to blow us all away. I'm concerned about the depth of the storyline. I felt that it was a very, let me say what I'm comparing it to. I'm one of those out there, the minute that Sam heard it announced, he was like, oh my gosh. He's like, okay, maybe I get it. He said, but man, what if they just had done like Lord of the Rings? And I was like, of course, you're brilliant. That's why I married you. I get this. But, and his point to that was, well, here's the deal. You already have 3 movies in the bag. They were all superb. They were all well-written. They have a lot of depth to them. We know that the Shire, the prequels, are getting ready to hit the movies or the theaters. So you have that longevity and that storyline and really more of the fantasy. I feel like the fantasy and that and Lord of the Rings, and again, I'm just using that as an example. We could probably find other movies to talk about. But And the other side of that to me was is that you would be actually introducing another generation to Tolkien. I mean, come on, a literary genius. So there's another angle to that that you could have been exposing people to another literary genius. And I just feel like I've been to Universal one time. Actually, we've been, if you want to count the week that we were down there, the 1 year that we went, we've been there 3 times. And by day 3, while it was fun, it was an amusement park. We were done. It's not like Disney for us. And I don't want this to cheapen the experience that you get from Disney. And I know that probably sounds crazy to people out there right now, but my concern is that I don't go to Universal because I live close enough to Busch Gardens that I can go to Busch Gardens and have the amusement park feeling anytime I want. I want, when Disney adds something like this, and I think both Mikes nailed it in the last podcast, is that I feel like Disney has kind of lost the fire in the belly to really dig down deep and to find that imagination without having to kind of outsource it, so to speak. And again, if I'm wrong about all this in 2015 and everybody's freaking out because it's so amazing, I will be the first one to call y'all's show and say, I was wrong. I'll wear the big, you know, letter that says I'm wrong. But I just was, I'm just not excited about it. And like I said, I saw the movie. Visually stunning. I will tell you that if they do a Pandora ride, like kind of Thorn over Pandora, I don't think visually my brain can handle it because it would, I just think it's going to be it could potentially cause some issues for people just because of the intensity of the colors and things like that. But anywho, that's one girl's point of view from Virginia tonight. So I just wanted to call. Like, I don't like calling unless I have something really I want to say or kind of contribute to. And mm-hmm. I really hope Disney didn't miss it on this one. I'm really concerned, along with Scopa and Noel. I wish they would have kind of dug deeper. But who knows? You know, like somebody called in earlier and said, we just don't know, so why are we judging? I think because there's a lot of us out there that I would not consider myself a purist, but I certainly, you don't want legacy to get lost. And I just, looking on this, I don't know if Walt Disney would be like, thumbs up, everybody. I'm cool with this. So right. Anyway, I've said a ton. Sorry.
That was a good call. Thank you for sharing your opinion. You know, it's you know, one of the things that's great about the medium like these podcasts is that we can share our opinions and talk about these things. I mean, obviously, we don't know what's actually going to be like, but, you know, the decision itself is a topic that we can debate. And it's glad I'm thrilled that we have a forum like this where, you know, be it on our podcast forums that Mike mentioned earlier, where people were sharing a lot of their thoughts on Facebook, or the WW Today Facebook group, or even in this live show, where you can call in and share your opinions on what it is. And, you know, I really think this decision was made. I really feel like this decision that to go with Avatar was made by Bob Iger and to a lesser extent Tom Staggs. I think this was kind of like, this may be part of his their legacies more than any other decision they made, because before this it might have been some other things that had already been in the works and what have you. But this just has like, this seems like something that'll have Iger's handprint all over, the same way that like Eisner has certain things that are all about him, right? The studio is a great example of that. It was originally an idea for Epcot Pavilion, and he stepped in and said, no, this is going to be a separate park. And so to that same way, we're going to judge a lot of Bob Iger's legacy on decisions like this that he's making right now. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the bottom line at the end of the day, we won't know until 2015, like you said. And I guess we'll just have to see. We'll have to have a revisit of the phone call to see what we all think. So, but I appreciate y'all's time, and thanks for a safe and fun place to come talk about it, okay?
No.
Awesome. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Ed.
You know, I was going to say that while y'all were all saying that. I think this is great that this is a forum where I have been on discussion boards and I've been other places where if you don't agree with everybody else, you get attacked. I have to say thank you, everybody in the chat room, for not attacking other people for their opinions, because it's been quite nice in the, you know, everybody's got an opinion. And nobody's really attacked anybody. It's great.
Except Henry. Right. He attacked me. No, I'm kidding.
You put yourself out there, Noel. Sorry.
I love you, Henry.
407-278-5939. And next call is from Brett. Hey, Brett.
Hey, guys. WWE Fanboy Brett here. How you doing?
Hoorah.
Good. How are you?
Good. Just wanted to call in, put my two cents in on a couple things.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
You got change, Matt?
You guys,
I don't have any change.
What's that?
I don't have any change.
Okay.
Can you break a five?
You take a third party out of state bed check?
Wow.
Absolutely.
Nice, all right. Nice.
Now, you guys talked earlier about the best place to grab a drink. Personally, I always like to go to one of the kiddie pools on property with a flask and just hang out there on my Speedos.
Uh-huh. I see you.
So you're pulling a line test. Okay.
Exactly. Wasn't this in the book?
Now, next weekend at La Hacienda, who wants to pound tequila shots and have a sit-in to bring back Horizons?
Well, it may come to that regardless of whether we sit there and pound or not.
I'll start it if anyone's afraid.
It's like a slow clap in an 80s movie. Is that
the only thing that's going to prevent us from doing that is the price of the tequila, dude.
Yeah. Well, you know, I when I moved down here 13 years ago, a friend of mine I worked with had moved here years before that from Mexico, and he said that in Mexico tequila is treated like fine wine, and he laughed because so many Americans will drink Jose Cuervo, even Cuervo Gold, and think that it's top notch, when in Mexico the bums drink Jose Cuervo. I never forget when he told me that, because I'm thinking, you know, I grew up, and you know, when you turn 21, everyone's bringing out the Jose Cuervo and getting stupid, but I can only imagine the tequilas that La Hacienda is going to have and the prices for the top notch, but I'm definitely willing to give it a shot.
I'm sure it's going to be incredible.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Did you guys already discuss the Avatar fiasco, or am I too late?
No, what is that all about?
What's going on?
Oh. Cool. I have to say right off the bat, I'm so thankful for the internet, where every genius with an opinion can complain about something they know nothing about and hasn't even happened yet.
Yeah, Tom Bricker.
And you can just read them everywhere. I think it was within minutes, the blogs across the internet were just jam-packed with everyone's opinion what this is going to do. Now, no one really has any clue what specifically they're going to create, except the fact that it's going to have something to do with Avatar. So I really think that uptight fans just need to unclench. And we all know Disney realizes it dropped the ball with Potterland, so just let them do what they need to in order to try to save face.
Yeah. This decision is like the same thing like on sports message boards. You know, like if when the Yankees sign a player, and the guy's never played a game in his life for the Yankees yet, but, you know, you'll have threads and and posts and tweets all about how, you know, how his whole career is either going to be awesome or terrible in New York. You know what I mean? It's like the same thing. It's,
oh, yeah.
It's, you know, it's part of the, and you know what? It's, I mean, I enjoy it. I mean, I love hearing other people's opinions and kind of gauging, you know, what the things, there are some topics that things happen and people are like totally all in for it. Everyone thinks it's a great idea. And there's all these great, you know, like people dreaming and, you know, it's always interesting to see what, how people react to this. And this has been so mixed. I really can't think of something else that Disney's real announced that has been so debated and been so evenly debated. Like, you'll just, I mean, I'll see, like, you know, it's not like there's really, it's slanted any one way yet. It's not like there's an overwhelming majority, I would say. You know, and I think, I don't know what the results are yet, and Scope is keeping them for the end of the show, but I'm feeling like it's going to be very close in terms of the numbers. And you know what, that's, it's great. It's great that, that we have this kind of community that cares so much, because let's be honest. If Six Flags bought some movie property, like Lord of the Rings, I mean, there is no community to debate it. You just have, you know, that doesn't exist. So from a Disney internet community, it's kind of cool that we have so many people that are so passionate about everything they're thinking about.
Right. That's the thing right there. I think a lot of people were taken aback because Disney is such a tight community. It's, mm-hmm. it's a family. People grew up with Disney. And they almost feel like, what is this outside entity coming into my park, and what are they doing? And if it was the Magic Kingdom or Epcot, I could see people getting uptight about it, but it's Animal Kingdom. Animal Kingdom needs all the help it can get with all the things in the past that never came to fruition. And the way I see it, Avatar, whether you like the movie or not, you have to admit the special effects were phenomenal. And this is one area that I think the Disney Imagineers can take it and run with it and do a great job, whether it's very entrenched in the movie Avatar or if it's just loosely based on the movie, but the whole design has that effect.
Absolutely. Cool, Brett. Thanks for sharing your opinions. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye, Brett.
Bye.
407-278-5939, and lots more calls here. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Jonathan from Georgia.
Hey, Jonathan, what's on your mind?
Well, we were coming down this coming Thursday for the weekend, a long weekend, and had a question about rope drop at Epcot.
Okay, go ahead.
I've been to all the parks at rope drop except Epcot, and I was wondering, I know we're going to be staying in the Dolphin Hotel, and I have been told that they've recently changed the rope drop procedure there. You can't get through the gates. Is that correct?
I think they're it hasn't completely changed. You can still get through 8:45 now, I think, but they're still kind of holding you.
I saw the blog post on TouringPlans.com, Len, about that Fred was there for when they changed it.
Yeah, so, but, so the I guess the Epcot cast members were told that the opening procedure was going to change, but I still think you can get in early, like at 8:45.
Okay, so if we're walking from the Dolphin to the back entrance, can you get through to the central area, or do you have to wait there at the gate? Or has that changed?
You know, I'm not sure I've heard about
don't,
that.
I don't know.
Uh-huh. I was just wondering because I thought I remembered in the past you've been able to walk through to the central area from that end of the park. But the best deal, I guess, then is to go to the front entrance and be there by 8:45.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I mean, if anyone in our chat room knows that, you know, just post it in the chat room right now. Or if you're listening to this episode and it's recorded, post it in the comments. But I'm not sure on the answer to that one. That's a good question.
I don't know. I think they you know, I don't know. It's been so long since I've walked there. I think they hold you there till the park opens, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I'll check it out when I'm there this week. I'll post something
on
the show notes.
There.
Cool. I'll see you then.
Yeah, looking forward.
Thanks.
407-278-5939. Next call on the line. Hi, who's on the air with us?
Lee from Houston.
Hey, Lee. What's on your mind?
How's it going? I'm heading down in October 20th just for a two-day trip, and the crowd seemed to be very light. We're going to go to studios for one day. Are we going to need to stress about, you know, rope drop and getting to the Toy Story Mania right off the bat and all that, or is it going to be
yes.
a little easier to handle?
I mean, I would still say you should always, no matter what the park day is, get there for park opening, and especially for Toy Story, yes, you still need to do that. I think the difference between a regular park day and perhaps a slower park day like you're going to be anticipating is that while you still have to get there to the park for a rope drop and get to Toy Story first, I think as your day progresses, there's less of a need to stick strictly to some sort of a touring plan. It may give you a little more leeway in terms of taking it easier, but I think certain things are still intrinsic regardless of what the crowds are like on any given day at the studios. I think Toy Story is one of those things you just have to do.
Yeah.
But after they might have a little more, flexibility.
Gotcha. And any information, any opinions on the Discovery Cove? Have you guys done that or?
At SeaWorld?
Yes, sir.
Matt, have you done it?
I have not done it. Have you done it, Len?
I have not, but the reader feedback we get on is pretty good. It's just expensive.
Yes, it's very expensive, but I heard it's very good.
What's the weather going to be like in October? Is it going to be too cold to...
Nah, it'll be fine. I mean, that's where global warming is your friend, man. I mean, dude, it's just supposed to be 90 this week. I mean, this week is October. It'll be 90 at the end of the week.
Yeah, you'll be fine. It doesn't really start to cool down in Florida, honestly, until it gets to about November.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay. Easy enough. Cool. Appreciate the help.
Cool.
Thanks, Lee.
Thanks.
407-278-5939. We have an international call. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, speaking with Melissa from Sydney, Australia.
Hey, Melissa.
Good
day.
Morning.
Good day.
Good day. How you going?
Good. Can you tell me what that's not a knife? This is a knife?
Oh, that was actually my husband that did that for you.
I love that bit.
Beautiful.
It's so sad that all of our knowledge of Australia is Finding Nemo.
Paul Hogan references?
Yeah. Paul Hogan and Finding Nemo. That's it.
That's it, yep. And probably it will just keep going like that, I'll
say. Nice.
So what can we do for you tonight?
Now, guys, I've got a couple of questions. We're actually heading down to the world come the 24th of October for just under 4 weeks. And a lot of the time that we're going to be spending there is going to be chasing the characters. My four-year-old daughter is actually putting together this gorgeous little autograph book where she's actually drawing all the characters and things like that, and we're trying to try and get autographs and signatures and things like that for her. So my first question is around Darth Vader, and I know that he does the Jedi boot camp, I believe, and will be there, and I was just wondering, does he actually sign, or is it only on Star Wars weekends and things like that he would actually do the signing?
He only signs on Star Wars weekends. He only has a character meet and greet for that. When the Jedi training camp, he does not. There are rare occasions where he'll come out and do meet and greets. I mean, they're really rare. I mean, like, you'll see, and they're not planned. And usually, like, in the first, actually, the only time I can tell you it might actually happen outside of Star Wars weekends are maybe a couple weeks before Star Wars weekends, in the weeks leading up to that. You might see one or two, but I couldn't even tell you that you could plan on it or anything like that. So outside of Star Wars weekends, you're really out of luck, unfortunately. The only thing I could say, and this would be, you can't book on it, but if your daughter was to go, if she's of the age of Jedi Training Academy and participated, maybe you could ask the cast member if it's possible. But, I mean, realistically, outside of Star Wars weekends, there is no real way of getting his autograph, unfortunately.
Okay. And is it hard to actually get onto the Jedi training camp, or it's fairly easy?
I'm sorry?
Is it actually hard to get selected for the Jedi training camp, or is that a fairly easy
It used
process?
To be. Now you sign up for it. So it's first come, first serve. You just need to be there early in the morning. I would say, like I said earlier in the show, usually they fill up their spots by about 10:30 or 11, so you need to get there early in the morning and get your daughter, I assume it's your daughter wants to do it, sign up. And so you need to do that early in the morning. Like, it's for people who have young children who want to do Jedi training and Toy Story, I mean, that's really your morning right there in terms of getting, you have to, like, honestly, I mean, the best thing I would recommend is to send, like, your husband to go get fast passes at Toy Story while you and your daughter go to Jedi Training Academy and sign up. You have to have your daughter there to sign up. You have to, like, produce the body.
Yep, okay. No worries. That's cool. And my other question was, we've got things like the Pirate Adventure book for her and the Mad Hatter's Tea Party and also the Perfectly Princess Tea Party book. Is there anything else that we could look at doing for her that she could kind of get a bit of enjoyment out of?
You know, she got the basics pretty much down for those books there. I like those ideas. Does anyone else have any other ideas for other books for her daughter?
Other books.
Or just other, like, activities that she can do. Because I'm going to be there, as I said, for almost a month. So there's a lot
right.
of time.
Do you have one idea? Keep it a little high tech. If you have an iPod Touch or something like that, you could load that up with apps and things like that that you could use in the parks. There's so many great Disney apps out there that you don't even have to, like, I mean, there's obviously line stuff like that, but I mean, you have like the Hidden Mickey's app from Steve Barrett. That's a great way of keeping kids entertained. There's a lot of Disney trivia apps that are out there. I mean, there's so many different apps that you could have, and you just load them up on your iPod Touch before you leave for the, you know, for your trip. And that might be something that you can, you know, use while you're there.
Okay, cool. And my last question was in regards to the Grand Floridian actually used to have what was known as a ladybug release or something like that
right.
every Thursday. Do they still do that? Do you know? Or
I don't know. I don't think so. I haven't heard about it in forever. That's a great question to ask, though. A ladybug release.
I would actually, my recommendation is to check a site like allears.net and see if they have information. It's going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that would be my recommendation for you. According to Mouse Planet, it's every Thursday at 11 a.m. at the Grand Floridian. I'm not sure if that's still up to date. I'm just telling you what it was, at least at one point.
Yeah, I know. Some of the websites actually still say that it's every Thursday at 11 a.m., but, I mean, that was kind of way back, and I haven't actually seen anything recently.
I did a search on Google, and I filtered it to the past year's results, and someone in November 2010 said that it did occur at Thursday at 11 a.m., for what that's worth.
Okay.
It's worth checking out. I'm trying to see if anyone in the chat room have any information. They're all talking about Pan Am.
Nice.
Ladybugs, Pan Am.
So, but all ears on that would be your a good resource for you right there.
Yep. Okay. No worries. And just one more thing before I go, Victorian Albert. I know that there's been in the past a lot of people or a few people call up and ask for your opinions and everything like that. And I would just like to say that. I've been with my husband each time we've been over to Walt Disney World. We've made the effort to go to Victoria and Albert, and we've been fortunate enough to do the chef's table a couple of times, and I would just have to say that I would highly, highly, highly recommend it as an experience. If you can get the opportunity to ever go, I would always say and recommend to go.
Awesome. Thank you for the opinion. We always like hearing what our listeners think about different things and sharing your opinion. So that's awesome. Thank you so much.
No worries. Well, you guys have a good night. And hopefully we'll catch up soon.
Absolutely. Let us know what you find. And also let us know which way the toilets flush down there. Thank you.
No worries. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye-bye. 407. Well, you know, I think it's going to wrap up our live show. But before we wrap up the live show, first of all, Mike Scopa, at the start of the show, we had a tally going throughout the show. And I know not everyone answered, but they yes or no on the Avatar line if they liked it or not. So what were the final results, Mike?
Well, we had 30 calls tonight, Matt. And of those 30, 17 did not say either way. So they were sort of on the fence, or they didn't have a strong enough opinion either way to say anything. So 17 of
Chad.
Yeah, hanging Chad.
Yep.
So 17 of the 30 did not have an opinion. There were 8 callers who expressed positive reaction from the Avatar announcement. And there were eight yes or eight yays, and there were five nays.
Oh.
So you're right. It was still close. We don't know. And there were some who, like the one I wanted to mention was Brett. At first, I wasn't sure about Brett, what he was saying. And then somewhere down, I mean, it sounded like he was on the fence. And then somewhere down the road, he sort of said, yeah, he was in favor of it. So I gave that to him. If I had given him the nay, it would have been 7-6. So like you said earlier, it's close. And I think that... it's the jury's going to be out for a while on this, you know.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank all everyone, and don't forget, you know, one of the things that we need to remember here at WWE Today is that, you know, you can make a debate about the Avatar, but there's no debating how great of a deal touringplans.com is, and they're our sponsor for this live show. They have so many great resources for you to help you plan those trips to Walt Disney World. It doesn't matter if you're going in October, January, July, regardless of when you're going, touringplans.com has the resources to help you plan that perfect trip, the one where you're not waiting in line all that time and sitting there and going, oh, geez, no, should we leave? Is there a line at the Tiki Room now? You don't want to have that situation. Touringplans.com gives you the tools and resources to avoid all that, see everything you want to see, and have a great trip. Check them out right now. They are our sponsor. Please support them at touringplans.com.
Don't forget about our meet on Sunday.
Yes, and if you're going to be in Walt Disney World next week on October 2nd, there's going to be Len and I will be at the Touring Plans meet at 2 p.m. in Mexico. That's October 2nd. And also, Len, I think you'll be there too. I know I'll be at AJ, our friend AJ at Disney Food Blog, is having a meet at 11 a.m. Earlier that morning on Sunday, October 2nd, at Ariel's in the Beach Club.
Definitely
part of Foodie Fest, so when you'll be there too.
Should be hoot.
Absolutely. And if you see Tom Bricker there, please punch him. But for the rest of us, we're looking forward to seeing him. So if you're around, it'd be great.
Wow.
And of course, I want to thank everyone who listened to the live show here. You know, we had such a great time. It's a great topics. Thank you for giving a good civil. Of course, it was a heated topic today. But you know what? Thank you for listening, chatting, calling in. Always a pleasure. And we had such a great call. So thank you so much for being a part of it. For Len Testa, Mike Scopa, and Mike Newell, I'm Matt Hatchford. We'll see you on the next live show.
And I was here too.
Woo.
Sam.
Who?
Sorry, I forgot.
Just saying.
Sorry.
Who?
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.